Let us be thankful and continuing to hear the Lord speak to us. And so let's turn in the Scriptures to Luke chapter 9. And we'll be reading verses 28 through 62. 28 through 62 of Luke chapter 9. And we'll begin in verse 28, Luke chapter 9, verse 28. These are the eternal words of the Lord. Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, and a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mulling him as it leaves. I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask about this statement. An argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great." John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you." When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to go to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And those are the words of God. Now we learn here, of course, more about Christ healing people in verse 37 and following, healing the child who would go into convulsions. And the disciples were unbelieving. As it came to the healing of this child, and he rebukes all of them. He rebukes the disciples in verse 41. But the passage begins with the transfiguration. The transfiguration going back to the time when Moses experienced the glory of the Lord and his face shone with a bright light. He had to cover it up. And so here Peter and others saw the Lord's glory. And notice the cloud in verse 34. It should have reminded you of also here we see the voice, or hear the voice that came from the cloud. It should remind you of Exodus and what we've been hearing. And the Father said, this is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. And so remembering that, the Lord thundering down from this cloud, and he, as he came down, showed forth his glory in his Son. And Christ also continued warning the disciples of the sufferings he'd have to endure at the hands of men. And yet still they struggled to understand. We see in verse 45, and why it was, because it was concealed from them. The Lord's still in control and his providence over them. And then verse 46, we see the prideful argument of who among them was the greatest. And Jesus rebukes them with this child that they would receive Christ by faith. And we see in verse 47, Jesus again is shown for multiple times in this chapter alone, that he is God. He knew what they were thinking in their heart. And then Jesus rebukes them again for not having the desire that those in sin be saved. The verses 54, and then he rebukes them in verses 55 and 56. And then Christ answers many who are wanting to follow him at the end. And they're making excuses to follow immediately. They say, well, we got to go home and we got to go to a funeral. We got to go home and say goodbye to our family. And Jesus rebukes them for this, making excuses. Jesus says, stop making excuses, stop making the plans, even plans. And do it now, do it immediately. Don't plan to, and we're going to hear about this morning, go home and, well, I'm going to start reading my Bible, I'm convicted, I'm going to start reading my Bible, I'm going to start praying when I get home, and I'm going to start tomorrow. And Jesus here, in the same way, but with following him, he says, stop making plans like that. Start now. Do it immediately. For those who sit around and wait and make excuses, they are not fit for the kingdom. They are not fit for the church of God. And so come now to Jesus. Don't wait to follow him. Follow him now. Let's pray. Father, that is a great thing that we struggle with often. When we are convicted of our sin, we're rebuked and disciplined by you, the Father, who loves us. We're convicted of our sin. We see what righteousness is required of us. And we say, well, when we get home, we'll start. Or we'll do it starting tomorrow, the beginning of the week, after the Lord's Day. And sometimes in our private reading, we do the same thing, and we say, well, we'll start tomorrow. And we're convicted that we don't evangelize, we're not bold enough in our evangelism and telling people about the gospel. And we say, well, the next time. Or we say, tomorrow I'll make it a point to go talk to them instead of right now. And many times we see in this chapter the many times where, sure, the disciples believe, but here we see their unbelief, their struggle with faith and trusting you in all that you do and all that you say. And we are the same way as the disciples. We often like to believe. We come here, we worship you, we profess our faith, confess our faith before others, but and then there are moments in various circumstances that we just don't believe. We don't trust your plan. We don't trust your word. We rather lean on our own understanding instead of trusting fully in you. And so as we believe, we ask that you would help our unbelief. And as we have sinned in many and great ways, we ask that you, as we've not loved you, we've not loved our neighbor, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We have broken your commandments in thought, word, and deed. And as we are guilty of one, we're guilty of all the law. So, Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins and you would receive us for Christ's sake. That when you're looking upon us and as we're with you now spiritually in the throne, before the throne, we ask that you would receive us based on the righteousness of Christ, based upon His death, and that you would cleanse us of our sins. And we know that you are our advocate. Your Son is our advocate before you, the Father. He is the righteous one who sacrificed Himself for us on the cross, that we in Him might have all things and have that stamped on our foreheads, or the turban like the priest wore, that says, "Holy to the Lord." That is us, if we are in Christ, in union with Him. Father, we pray that you would receive us for the sake of your Son, in His name alone. Father, we ask that you would heal our diseases. We know that you are able to do so in our bodies where we struggle with sickness and disease or chronic illnesses. Father, we ask that you would heal our bodies. We pray that you would strengthen our spirit, our souls, as your Spirit works within us, that we would be godly witnesses before this world, and that even if it means to suffer, you would strengthen us for that. And we pray that you would help us understand how that is to be done, how we are to be strengthened this very day and this morning as we hear in Exodus about the priest and ordination. We ask that you would help us understanding how we ourselves, as all Christians, are anointed by your Holy Spirit, just as the priests were anointed with oil. Father, we ask that you would help us and give us comfort and good hope by grace in your Son alone. Discipline us where we need discipline. Correct us where we need correction, and give us faith to trust you in all that you say and all that you've done for us and continue to do for us. And trust your promises. We know that you are faithful, even though we are faithless. And so be exalted, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.